We're doing the Ein Yaakov on Brachot. We're holding Daf Yod Zayin in the Ein Yaakov. It's page Mem Dalet. And the Gemara has been quoting the different prayers that the different Amoraim would, or Tanaim also, would say at the end of their davening. And the Gemara continues, or by the letter Samach Zayin, Rabbi Alexandri Batar Tzlutei Amar Hachi. After his Shmona Esrei, after his davening, he'd say the following. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu. May be your will, Hashem our God. There are enough copies for everyone. Guys, that's a bunch of copies. They're all the same. If you need more copies, we have more up here. So Rav Alexandri would say like this. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu. May it be your will, Hashem our God, shetamideinu bekeren ora. Now the word keren could mean a horn. The word keren could mean a corner. So if he's saying you should put us in a corner of light, he's talking about the Jewish people. The Jewish people in Galut are being persecuted, and that's why they're described as being placed in the corner, so to speak. So he says, let that corner be filled with light. A person can be in Galut and be in Siberia, and the person can be in Galut and be in Brooklyn. And a person can be in Siberia and have light, and a person can be in Brooklyn and have darkness. I'm not sure which one has more light. but at any rate, he would pray that wherever we are in Galut, we should be in a place of light. Don't put us in a corner of darkness. Our hearts should not be filled with sorrow. Our eyes should not be darkened. Some say it was Rav Amnuna who would pray this prayer. So that's the standard understanding, that's Rashi's understanding in this prayer. But there's an alternate understanding, that the word keren over here means horn. And it's a reference to a position of authority, that Rav Alexandri was a judge, he had some position of leadership. And he prayed that this that he's like the horn, he's raised over the people, should be something that will be of light for himself. Because sometimes, when a person is given a position of leadership, it's always leading him somewhere. Either he's going to use it properly, and he'll be a source of light for the people, and it'll be a source of light for himself. Or a person who's the leader could quickly fall. It could be a source of darkness. So he's asking that this keren, tamideinu bekeren ora, let us stand up to this position of leadership, that it should be a source of light and it shouldn't be a source of darkness. And then that goes hand in hand with Rebbe's prayer that we had finished off last week with Rebbe's prayer, that Rebbe asked Hashem, I shouldn't be brazen. Why was he concerned he shouldn't be brazen? Because he was exceedingly wealthy. Rebbe was one of the wealthiest people in our history. So he's asking God, you know, people when they're wealthy, very often that leads them to have pride, to have excessive self-confidence. So he asked Hashem, save me from azay panim, save me from azut panim, save me from brazen people, save me from myself being brazen. And he says, Rav Alexandri continues and says, Al yidve libenu al yachshechu einenu. He says, why are our hearts weeping? Why are our eyes darkened? What do we say in the Pasuk? Al ze hayadave libenu aleilech yachshechu einenu al artzion sheshameim shualim hilechuvo. Over the mountain of Zion that is desolate, over the fact that foxen are roaming the mountain of Zion. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us, how do we rectify that situation? Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. So he's in a position where he could kindle the flame of the Jewish people. If he is a fair judge, if he judges correctly, so he can be the source of the conclusion of his prayer. Our hearts should no longer be sorrowful, our eyes should no longer be darkened, because the source of the redemption of Zion, the prophet tells us, is in the hands of the judges, of being faithful judges and faithful leaders to the people. Now we're turning over to the next page in Ein Yaakov. And if that previous prayer was Rav Hamnuna's prayer, so now Rabbi Alexandri batel tzlutei amar hachi. Rabbi Alexandri, at the conclusion of his prayer, would say the following. Ribono olamim. It's the back of the page. I copied it two-sided. Ribono olamim. Master of the worlds. Whatever worlds those are. Olam hazen, olam haba, maybe. Galuy v'yadua lefanecha. It is revealed and known before you. Sheotzoneinu la'asot retzonecha. Our will is to do your will. Umi me'akev. And what is detaining us from performing your will? Se'ol shebaisa, the yeast that's in the dough, v'shibud galuyot, and the fact that we are in forced servitude under the nations now that we're in exile. That's why we're not living up to our potential. So firstly, he's telling us a very important point. Retzoneinu la'asot retzonecha. Our true will is to do your will. Sometimes when we read the Torah, it seems like the Torah is teaching us a way of life that's unnatural. I have to be so kind, I have to be so caring, I have to be so careful with how I speak. The Torah tells us one of the Ten Commandments, Lo tachmod, thou shalt not covet. We live in a world that's all about coveting. And the Torah tells us, no, don't covet what your friend has, don't covet his car, his house, his ox, his wife. We read the Torah and sometimes we could tell ourselves, no, that's for other people. I'm not on that level. Rav Alexandri says, no. In essence, our true will is to do God's will. The Torah is the natural way for us to live. And this isn't only a philosophical concept. It's also a halachic concept. But firstly, it's a philosophical concept. It's an important concept that we have to recognize. We have to recognize that the Torah is our natural way of living. And it's a concept also to tell our children. Meaning, there are two ways a person can educate his child. You could tell your kid, yeah, I can make a lot of money now. My competition is working Shabbos, and whoa, now that I'm taking off for Pesach, you know, Pesach falls out on a Monday, Tuesday, and I have to take off Monday, Tuesday, and then Erev Yom Tev, you know how much money I'm losing? And, yeah, look, we're believers, we're faithful Jews, this is what Torah says, so we do it. But you describe it as though God's twisting your hand behind your back. Or else, a person can tell his child, you know, we were given a gift. God told us what the best way to live on this planet is. Look at those other people. They spend their lives working and working and working. And we, the Rambam does the calculation, if you figure out the Shabbatot, if you figure out the Yamim Tovim, we have a certain percentage of the time that we spend on vacation. God told us how much vacation we're supposed to take. We don't need to take these prolonged vacations. God gives us every week one day vacation. And not only do we have that day vacation, we prepare for that day vacation from Wednesday already. We're looking in the market all week long to see what's special. On Wednesday we start cooking. The whole family plans on getting together. You look at Shabbos suddenly differently. It's not just a day where I can't make money. It's a day where God told me, hey, look, this is the way you're going to live. So you'll have the balance, enjoying what you work for. Sheshet yamim ta'avod. 6 days you'll work. V'yom ha'shvi'i tishbot. And on the seventh day you'll rest. Enjoy. And the enjoyment is a mitzvah. It's not just a self-fulfillment. I'm performing a mitzvah. The karatana shabbat oneg. Call the Shabbos a day of oneg, a day of pleasure. Now Hashem tells us, don't run on Shabbos. Take it easy. Walk leisurely. Go to a later minyan. You guys laughing. Yeah, Yonatan? They both woke up for our early learning Shabbos morning. But that's part of Shabbos. The question is, how do we view it? So the first point, philosophically we have to recognize, Ritzoneinu la'asot ritzoncha. People sometimes confuse this when they educate their kids. They tell their children what the Gemara really says, but it's a Gemara that needs explanation. The Gemara says, from the time a child is stirring in the womb to come out, when he's starting to come out, from then he has a Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Tov only comes in when he's Bar Mitzvah. So some parents tell the kids this. Ah, it's not your fault. You only have a Yetzer Hara. When you'll get older, you'll have a Yetzer Tov. It's not a good way to educate kids. I don't think so. We have to tell our children, Ritzoneinu la'asot ritzoncha, and to see the beauty in it. This concept is also halachic. There are times when a husband owes his wife a get, where he he's not entitled to detainer. Let's say he breaks out and boils. She can't stand it. So she comes to the court and says, you know, he's a nice guy. We lived together well for 7 years now, 10 years, 15 years. But now I can't stand looking at him. I can't stand being close to him. It's not his fault, but I don't want to continue this way. So there can be instances where the halacha is going to say she's entitled. So the rabbis will call him in and they'll say, look, so we're not happy about it either. This isn't what we'd like, but she's entitled to have a get, so give her a get. And the guy could say, I don't want him. And the Torah says that a person can only divorce his wife of his own volition. The Torah says, "V'chos avlo sefer krisus v'nosan biyodo." He writes her a document of divorce and he places it in her hand. From here we derive that he must place it in her hand willingly. The Torah describes it as an act of his own volition. So the courts tell him, buddy, she's entitled. And he says, well, I don't want to do it. So we say, well, work on yourself. You should want to do it. So the guy goes home, and after a few weeks, we see he's not budging. So we call him in, and we say, what's happening? And he says, well, I don't want to do it. So we say, look, we can convince you. We have these muscle men over here, and they'll help you want it. So the Rambam questions, how come when we let the bouncers take a hold of him, and after they've beaten him up a little bit, he says, yeah, I want, believe me, I want. How come that's for real? The Torah says he has to give it of his own volition. Until we started beating him up, he said, I don't want. Now that these men are beating the daylights out of him, he says, I want, yeah, for sure I want. How does that work? So the Rambam tells us, and this is where this concept comes in halachically, that at the essence of every person is the will to do Hashem's will. Really, even this guy, he knows his wife's entitled. Yeah, he doesn't want to do it. But deep down, he also wants to do what's right. So all they're doing is they're helping what's deep down inside come to the surface. That's what the Rambam says. So this is this concept. Hashem, you know the essence of our being, we do want to do your will. So you want a copy of what we're learning? We're up to page, no problem. Page 88. And then we'll go on to this. So Rav Alexandri said, Ribon Shom, you know, deep down inside we want to do your will. But what's holding us back? Seor Shebaisa. There's a Yetzer Hara that's described as the yeast in the dough. It makes the dough rise. So a person has within him that desire to be proud. Vishibut galiyot. And the fact that we're in servitude under the nations, they beat us to a pulp. They make us exceedingly, not even humble. They push us to the ground. So we have both extremes. The Rambam teaches us the golden path that God wants us to go on is the path of moderation. Hashem wants us not to be too proud, not to be too humble. There's a middle ground. But when we're being beaten in both directions, the Yetzer Hara, the Sor Shebaisa that's making us rise and be proud, and the nations on the outside that are beating us down, so then a person has a hard time finding that middle ground. It's interesting that the Yetzer Hara is given a description with a dual nature. On the one end, we're talking about ourselves as the dough, and the Yetzer Hara is the yeast, as though it's a separate part of me. On the other hand, we describe it as something that's Shebaisa, that's within the dough. We've discussed in the past that there are different types of Yetzer Hara. There's a Yetzer Hara that's external, there's a Yetzer Hara that's internal. Here the description seems to be that the internal one is also its own entity, the Yetzer Hara. That also needs discussion. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, Rabbi Alexander would continue, may it be the will before you, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, shetachni'im milefaneinu, that you should make them subservient before us, umeachareinu, and from behind us. Because we described, a person has things that are cajoling him in both directions. either to be too proud or to be too lowly. So from before us, from behind us, subdue them. V'nashuva la'asot chukei retzoncha b'levav shalem. And then we will return to do the statutes of your will with a complete heart. And that's another important point. The Hasidut speaks about this a lot. Does one do the mitzvot b'levav shalem or not? We saw in the Ramban and we saw in the Hasidut that the essence of one's service is to reach a point where he's doing things b'levav shalem, with a complete heart. We say that in Kriyat Shema as well. You'll notice that when we discuss doing tshuva, we call it teshuva, to return, which goes in line with the concept we were discussing a minute ago. We're just returning to our natural state. Mar, the son of Rav Huna, after his prayer, he'd say the following. Elokai, my God. Notice we've gone from master of the worlds, speaking in the plural sense, to the singular sense. Elokai, my God. Netzol l'shoni mera, watch my tongue from speaking bad, from speaking evil. V'siftotai midaber mirma, in my lips, from speaking in a fashion of cunning, of deceit. So the first request is, watch me from speaking badly. And we once discussed that there's the lashon, there's the sfataim. In the beginning of prayer, we also say, Hashem sifatai tiftach ufi yagid tehillatecha. We discuss the different aspects of speech. Part of the speech we say with our lips, part of the speech with our tongue, part with our tongue and our palate, part with our throat, part with our breath, the different forms of speech, and that we use the different forms of speech for good, and we also request that we shouldn't use the different forms of speech for bad. You guys, we didn't, I think, in Dov's minute, I think, in discussing davening. So he would request at the end of his prayer, and we all have adopted this request at the end of our prayer, my God, please watch my lips from speaking bad. So that's his first request. It's very interesting if we think about it. We begin prayer by saying, Hashem, open my lips to praise you positively. And at the very end, the first important point that we add in our personal prayer, all of Shmoneh Esrei is in the plural. We're speaking about all of the Jewish people. The one request that we begin with personally is, watch me from speaking badly. Help me to be a good person. You remember the story of David HaMelech and Yoav about why is David HaMelech attribute so much to speech? You guys remember the story? Mavet v'chaim b'yad lashon, Shlomo HaMelech said. So the story goes that Yoav couldn't figure out why are we attributing so much to the lips. So Yoav went to check it out, and there was once a king that asked, he needed to have a lion. The doctors told him in order for him to be cured, so he would have to drink the milk of a lioness. So they sent for Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech sent the chief general, and the chief general went. He was a very smart general, and he found a lioness with her cubs. And one day he sent her a sheep, and the next day another sheep. And every day he'd edge closer and closer to the lioness, bringing her sheep to feed her cubs, until it reached a point where he'd bring her the sheep and he'd stand next to her and pet her. And then it reached a point where he could stand next to her and bring her the sheep and pet her, and she'd even let him milk her. And he milked her and he got lioness milk, and he brought it back to the king. And he's on his way back, and he goes to sleep, and he has a dream, and in his dream he sees that the limbs of his body are fighting. And each one claims, I'm the one that did this brilliant act of figuring out how to get the milk for the cubs. So the feet said, what do you mean? If we wouldn't have edged closer gently and gently, you would have never gotten it. And the hands say, yeah, but if we wouldn't have patted it and taken the sheep, you would have never gotten it. And the mind says, yes, but if not for me, you would have never thought of it. And each limb is arguing, look at how great I am. And finally the mouth says to the other limbs, if not for me, you guys wouldn't be worth anything. So they all look at the mouth and they say, what do you mean? What'd you do in all this? So the mouth says, you guys just wait and see. I run the show here. You guys owe it all to me. So the limbs, they all laugh at the mouth, and the mouth says, okay, I'll show you. And he wakes up after this funny dream, and he comes back, and they send him to this non-Jewish king, and he brings the milk. And the king asks him, okay, what'd you bring me? And he comes before the king and he says, I brought you the milk. And he says a word in Aramaic, which can mean lioness and can mean a dog. So the king says, oh, you brought me dog's milk? That's what you brought me? What, are you making fun of me? To the gallows. Send him out of here. So they start leading him to the gallows. And in his mind, he starts hearing his limbs talking to one another. Hey, stop, stop, explain, talk. And the mouth says to the other limbs, ah, so you guys want me to explain? Oh, really? Well, so who is the master of ceremonies? Tell me. So all the limbs say, you're right, you're right, you're right, talk, come on. So he turns around, he says, my king, please, I beg you, let me explain. In our language, that word has a dual meaning. It means both lioness and female dog. And I'll prove it to you. Taste it, you'll see. And the doctors say, okay, taste it. He tastes it, he feels much better. And that's the end of the story. We sometimes think, what did I say? Shlomo HaMelech says, "Kimit lalea," a person who jests, "Hayorea chitzim zikim v'mavet." In essence, when he jests, when he makes fun of someone, he could be shooting arrows, he could be shooting death. With our speech, we could kill. Mavet v'chayim biyad lashon. Life and death can be in the hands of the tongue, the life and death of other people as well. The Torah stresses we have to be careful in what we say and how we say it. So the first thing that Mar Breder of Huna says in his prayer, and we've adopted this, we also say this every day at the end of Shmone Esrei, is Elokai netzol leshonim neira. God, watch my tongue from speaking badly. Now in essence, this is our job. But we know that in every mitzvah, we can ask Hashem, help me out. So that's what we're doing. We say, Hashem, help me watch my tongue from speaking badly. V'siftotai, and my lips, midabel milma, from speaking deceit. V'lim kalelai, and to those that curse me, nafshi tidom, may my soul be silent. One of the most difficult things to do is to listen when others speak badly at us and being quiet. To be silent when someone's cursing us, that's difficult. So firstly he says, God, let me watch my lips not to initiate any harm. Secondly he says, and if others use their lips badly against me, allow me, give me the strength to be silent. V'nafshi ka'afar lakol tiyeh. And my soul should be like dust before all people. Let me be humble, but let me be like the dust that overcomes with its humility. We spend our life trotting on the dust, but in the end we get buried in the dust. So let it be a humility that ultimately overcomes. Petach libi b'toratecha. Open my heart in your Torah. Person always has to daven, and we daven this every day, that God should give him the capacity to learn Torah. A person can sit and learn and not understand. There's a famous story about the Rambam, Maimonides, that his mother was the daughter of a butcher. This is the way the story goes. I don't know if it's true, but this is the story. And he lost his mother at a very young age. And his father kept trying to teach him, and he wouldn't get it. And finally his father said, okay, your grandfather was a butcher, you'll be a butcher too. You're just the son of the butcher's daughter. Okay, fine. So you'll be a butcher. Go, leave the Beis Medrash. There's no hope, it's over. And the Rambam went to shul, the story goes, and he sat and wept and wept and wept and fell asleep in his tears. This young orphan doesn't have a mother. And he fell asleep amidst his tears. And when he dreamed, he basically said, Ramon Jom, I do want to learn, help me out. And the story goes that when he awoke, he was a changed man. Even as he was a changed child. And after that, he was able to learn. Ptach libi b'toratecha, open my heart in your Torah. We daven for it every day. When guys tell me they're having a hard time learning, one of the first things I ask them is, do you daven about it? Do you daven? Yeah, if it's important to you, you should daven about it. We daven. Ptach libi b'toratecha. U'mitzvotecha tirdof nafshi. And let my soul chase after the mitzvot. A person has to strive to be a person who's chasing after doing good things. Not just when it comes my way, I'll be a decent person. If I'm a good person, so I'm looking to do good. We're going to read in our parsha, Vayetzei Moshe. Moshe went out of the castle to see his brethren, to see their suffering. He could have stayed in the castle. The hallmark of a leader, the hallmark of Moshe Rabbeinu, is that he doesn't sit around in the castle. He goes out. Vayal b'siv lotam. He wants to see what's doing with my brethren. See if they're suffering in Sderot, and if they're suffering in Ashkelon or Be'er Sheva. Let me see how I can help. So, u'b'mitzvotecha tildof nafshi. My soul should chase after your mitzvot. V'tatzileni mipegara. Hashem, save me from a bad encounterance. We find even the greatest people, because they met up with the wrong people, they brought them down. Shaul HaMelech ends up, Shaul HaMelech's demise is attributed to the fact that he murdered the city of Nov. And he murdered the city of Nov because he had a bad counterpart, he had a bad chief of staff. So his chief of staff says to him, Doeg tells him, yeah, they're in cahoots with David, they are also trying to kill you. And he believes him, and he errs. We daven every day, v'tatzileni mipegara, save me from a bad encounterance. Miyetzarara, from desire to do bad. Umeishara, we don't say all of this. And from a bad wife, or a bad woman. Umikol rota mitrakshot lavo ba'olam, and all bad things that are getting excited, that are coming swiftly to the world. This part, we Ashkenazim don't say, I don't know if Sephardim say it. Yeah, I don't know. And anyone who's thinking to do me harm, to do me bad, quickly dispel their thoughts, and destroy what they're plotting, what they're thinking to do to me. May the words of my mouth be a favor before you, and the thoughts of my heart before you, Hashem Tzuri, Hashem who is my rock, v'goalin, my redeemer. Now, the Gemara says that we conclude our prayer with these words. Yiyul ratzonim refi ve'gyon nibi lefanecha. And the question is, when do we say these words? So that's a machlokas. Because the Gemara says, David HaMelech said it at the conclusion of 18 prayers. So too, we should say it at the conclusion of Shmone Esrei. Now, we see here that Mar Brei Rav Huna would say it at the conclusion of his addition to the 18 prayers. So there are different opinions as to whether one should say it before we say Elokai Nitzor Shoni Mera, or after we say it, the way Mar Brei Rav Huna says it. And the Mishnah Brura says we should do both. Say Yul Ratzon before you say Elokai Nitzor, and say Yul Ratzon at the very conclusion. Rava, we're continuing. Rava is one of the later generations of Amoraim. And now the Gemara is going to tell us what was his addition. Rava batotzlute amar hachi. Rava, after his prayer, he would say the following: Elokai, my God. Notice again, singular, individual relationship with Hashem. Ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. Before I was formed, I wasn't worthy of being formed. The Gemara has a discussion: is it better if a person is created or not? The Gemara says the conclusion was tov lo laadam shelo nivra. It would have been better for a human being not to be created. The challenges of making it through this lifetime and being a positive person are too great. The Gemara says, you have so many prohibitions and so many mitzvot to say, and it's so difficult to live up to it. So the best thing would be if we wouldn't be born. The mere fact that we were created is a gamble. And to an extent, the Gemara says, the odds that we're really going to be successful, look around you. How many people are tzaddikim? How many people really... You look at them and you say, boy, thank God they were born. So we say that's one of the things that proves that a person is a good person. If people say, Ashrei Oladeto, praised is the one that bore him. So Rava says, before I was created, Eni Kedai, I wasn't worthy of creation. Ve'achshav she'notzarti, and now that I have been formed, Keilu lo notzarti, it's as though I wasn't formed. What have I amounted to? Afar ani bechayai, in my life I am but earth. Kal vachomer b'mitati. Certainly when I'll be dead, I'll be earth. Hare ani lefanecha. Behold, I am before you. Kichli male busha uchlima. Like a vessel filled with shame, internally, externally. Yiratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai. May it be the will before you, Hashem my God. Shelo echta'od. I shouldn't sin further. This is Rava. There almost isn't a page in Shas that doesn't have Rava's name on it. And Rava says, I shouldn't sin any more than I already have. And that which I've already sinned before you, marek, cleanse, v'rachamecha rabim, with your great compassion, aval lo al yedei yisurim v'cholayim raim, but not through punishments and bad afflictions, illnesses. That was Rava's prayer. So we say this prayer on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur we conclude our Shmon Esrei, every Shmon Esrei we conclude with this, and that's what the Gemara says. And this is the vidui, how do you translate vidui? confession, okay, yeah, of Rav Hamnuna Minor on Yom Kippur. So it's interesting that the Gemara tells us there were different people who suffered in this world, and each one on his level. Iyov yelled. Aaron was silent. David sang praise. Odecha Hashem ki anaf tabi. I thank you, Hashem, even though you've punished me, I thank you, Hashem, that you've punished me. That was David. No one else made it to that level. Not even Aaron HaKohen, not Job, not Iyov. And we have to learn from it that when it hurts, and a person's entitled to hurt. And sometimes the best he could do is just be silent. Even Rava, in his prayer, says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I need to be cleansed. Please don't make me suffer. I don't want to suffer. Rav Sheshat. And we know Rav Sheshat was Sagin Ahov. He was blind. Kaviyatav Bitanita, when he would fast, and I feel bad we didn't do this last week because this is relevant. This is quoted in Halacha. We had a fast a week ago on Asar B'Teves. So halachically, it's brought that one should ideally say what Rav Sheshat used to say when he would fast. Batal Dematzle, when he'd conclude his Shmoneh Esrei prayer, and we say at the end of the Mincha prayer, at the end of the fast, Amar Hachi, you would say the following. Ribon Olami, Master of the Worlds, Galui V'yado Lefanecha, it is revealed and known before you, Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam, at the time that the temple was around, Adam Chotev, a person would sin, Makriv Korban, and bring a sacrifice, then Makrivin Mimenu, Elech Elbo V'damo, the only thing they'd bring on the altar were the fats and blood of that sacrifice, Umit Kaperlo, and he'd be cleansed, he'd be forgiven. So, what would a guy do? He'd purchase an animal, bring it to the temple, bring it as a sacrifice, and he's atoned. And we say, Korban comes from the word karov, close. It brings him closer to Hashem. And he brings it and he's supposed to recognize, there but for the grace of God goes I. The animal's being slaughtered. Really, if God would take me to task, that's what would happen. But God allows me to do it to an animal. V'achshav, and now, Rav Sheshet would say, Yashamti b'tanit, I sat in fast. I fasted now for a day. V'nitmet chelbi v'dami. So my fats, my blood has been diminished. Yiratzon milfanecha, may it be the will before you, that the fat and blood of mine that was diminished will be keilu ikrav tiv lefanecha al gabei mizbech, as though I had brought it before you on the altar, v'tirtzeni, and I should find favor before you. You should again love me. Consider it as though I brought a sacrifice. I myself have been lessened. Let that be an atonement before you. So this is printed in many sidurim, in the Mincha prayer, as a footnote. And ideally, after one fasts, at the Mincha, at the conclusion of the fast, just before the conclusion of the fast, one is supposed to add this addition, if one could, if one remembers. Okay, we'll pause here and go for Avit.